in the book of Kings. Ahab was king of Israel, and he wanted Naboth, a man named Naboth's vineyard, who was a godly man, who obeyed God, who had been told never to give their land away, that the land was to stay in the family. And even if you sold it, it had to be in such a way that in the year of Jubilee it would come back to your family. No families would be poor over a long period of time. There would be no great dynasties such as the Kennedys. You see what I mean? Because the land would go back in the year of Jubilee. And he turned his face to the wall and he sulked and he pouted until his wife Jezebel said, "Don't you fret. Don't you mourn. I'll get you that land from old Naboth." And she had him murdered. See, this is the kind of mourning that's a wicked mourning that's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. There's another kind of mourning I want us to talk about, such as a foolish extended mourning that happens to some of us, and I want us all to hear this, like over a death or a divorce, some tragedy that happens in our lives that really throws us for a while. And quite often, see, it's one thing to mourn over a loss like that. It's natural, it's normal. But there's a period and a point which it becomes an obsession, where you become an emotional basket case. And this is not what God is talking about here at all. Not at all. What we're saying is some of us have trouble. We will refuse to, quote, let someone go. And when we can't face up to it, we totally withdraw from reality. And that's very dangerous for all of us. There's also a mourning that isn't healthy, that isn't what God is talking about here. A mourning over guilt. In other words, one of the most distressful, most disturbing, devastating things to anybody is guilt. God doesn't want any of us to live with guilt. That's why He tells us to repent and confess. Because when we do, we experience God's forgiveness and the guilt is gone. I can tell you about many sins I committed in the past and I feel nothing about it anymore. Why? It's wiped out. It's done. It's gone. There was a time that I mourned over those sins. But I have experienced the release by God from it to the point that it's like I'm talking about a dead man's sin. And he did die and rose again in Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? So, what I'm saying is, an example of that is David mourning over his failure with Absalom. David is probably the worst example in the whole Bible of a father. Not just with Absalom, but with Amnon, with Adonijah, another son that he never disciplined. Absalom's brother, he never disciplined him. After Absalom's death, he would never discipline the boy, and he grew up a spoiled brat. And he ended up losing his life because one of the reasons was his father never disciplined him. David is the most colossal failure I can think of in the whole Bible. As here he is, a man of God, a man after God's own heart, and he totally screwed up as a father. Oh, did you hear that? You needed that. Some of you men in here, you needed that. I needed that. To be the king of God's people, to write those psalms. Have you read them? Do you see his heart toward God in those psalms? And fail totally in another aspect of his life. Gosh, I needed that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us enough to write that. Because that's me. I finally found someone I can relate to. A man that God uses. And sometimes, beloveds, there's great victories. Come on, Jason, there's great victories sometimes. And another area of my life, total failure. And so I look at myself and I feel like a Christian schizophrenic. You know, am I pleasing God or am I not? Am I a failure? You know, someone comes up to me and confronts me with a colossal failure in a part of my life. And they're right. The only issue is, will I face up to it? You know, not if I'm not poor in spirit, absolutely not. I'll defend it. And sometimes I'm poor in spirit and sometimes I'm going to defend it. It is normal not to grow at the same rate in all the different aspects of your Christian life. And until you see that, you're going to be miserable about yourself. You're going to constantly be looking at self. Christianity isn't constantly looking at self. You keep your eye on self all the time, you're going to be miserable. Christianity is, there's Jesus. Did you read that story with me tonight? Did you see him? Wow! Now there's someone to admire. For me to tell you, now there was Jesus, just be like that. Just be like that. I'd have never thought of that story. Simon, there were two debtors. I'd have never thought of it in the crunch. Apart from God bringing something like that to my heart. All my college. Don't you understand? I didn't learn to think like that at the university. You don't have courses in that. These stupidly simple examples Jesus uses to wipe people out and change their lives. See, if it had just been complicated, I could have relished that and said, well, the guy was just smarter than I was. I could accept that kind of defeat. But for him to think of such a stupid example, such a simple example, it was only one lousy verse. See, that takes being poor in spirit. Because what we want is to think of an example that's very complicated that we'll be praised for, that Floyd the Magnificent will receive the praise. I want you to understand we're not talking about, well, a morning like, well, I just feel better after a good cry. Although that may be true, that is not what we're talking about here. Here is when we see we are spiritually bankrupt, we mourn. And beloved, that is what produces the comfort. See, and hear it. Mourners are blessed because they're the only ones that are forgiven. Think on that one a minute. See, everybody else has to live with the guilt. And the blessedness does not come from the mourning. It's the result that comes from God. It's the comfort that God does. It isn't that the weeping all is cathartic and purges. It's something that God gives as a gift as a result of us being honest about self. So do you see that these verse 3 and 4, you can't separate them really. It is a progression. Some of you nearly died the first night when I told you it was a progression. Because some of you told me, I heard afterwards, someone says, I hadn't progressed through many of the progressions. See, the whole beatitude, you're not, listen, no one is going to ever revile you about your Christianity if you hadn't dealt with these two first, because you're not going to be shaped enough into the image of Christ that anyone would revile you. Listen, the world loves religious people. Oh, they love them. Tutu. Sister Teresa. Schuller, they're venerated. Why, the news media, the Pope, the news media, they talk wonderful of them. You let someone stand up and say, there is one way, Jesus Christ, and no other. No man comes to the Father but by Him. This guy is not going to win any laurels from 2020. Barbara's Walters. Or anything else. Because, hear me, beloveds, like Jesus tonight, Himself, see it. It is a two-edged sword. Listen to me. Travis was not the first guy to draw us a line in the sand with a sword. When Jesus speaks, when you and I speak what the Scriptures speak, a two-edged sword draws a line, and it's very clear. It's very clear. Some of you in this room right now might say to yourself, well, I heard what you said, Floyd, but my problem is I have an intellectual problem. No, you don't. You're just like Simon. It isn't intellectual. It's you won't humble self before God. And you see, you don't do it in reverse. You don't mourn and then humble self. If you started mourning about it, you've already humbled self. That had to happen first. And once those are done, now listen, that happened to every one of us in here that are born again when we got born again, regardless of how much mourning was involved, just that, even if it was just that prick, I've sinned. Sometimes later you think about it more and reflect back on it, and it gets you more when you realize how much you got out of, and you appreciate it more later sometimes. What I don't want you to leave with is this, where you think there is a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. There's a worldly sorrow like Judas had that'll lead you to suicide, to disaster. Godly sorrow over sin always, as 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says, always leads to repentance. Okay? That's what God wants for you, because that's the one you get comforted on. Got me? Last point. Last statement. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Step one, that's where you got to start. Step two, blessed are those that mourn. And the subject, the context demands over sin. Not over sin in general. I'm not mourning over Adam's sin here, don't you understand? I'm not mourning over Lee's. Mine, mine. They are the only ones that received the comfort. Now, that happened to us when we got born again, but to hear me, another problem comes down the road, doesn't it? And it is that as I go through my life, having been forgiven, having been born again, I have problems. I continue to sin. Can you believe it? Look at these blue eyes. Yes, even I, Floyd the Magnificent, still sin. And the whole thing, not salvation, not getting reborn again, but the principle that we've been talking about starts all over again. Will I be honest with self about it? And humble self? Or will I try and hide it? And when that happens, will I really mourn it? Now, I want to close with two verses. We'll read these two, and you'll get the finale of what you need to see tonight, because there's something extremely important that we need to see. Let me just tell you this. Some of you are wondering, well, how can I know anyway if I do mourn over sin? I can tell you. What's our reaction to sin? Sin we see on television, in the movies, in books, do we laugh? Then we're not mourning over sin. We've missed the point here. Do we wink at it? Do we take pleasure in it? You know, vicariously even? See, how can we know if we mourn over sin? Do we actually experience God's forgiveness and comfort? Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're not experiencing that, there's something wrong, and it isn't God's. He's promised if we'll mourn over it, Jace, Larry, He will comfort. Right there, we need a word of warning. Many times I receive God's forgiveness, and immediately I'm comforted, but something weird happens just about that time. I won't forgive myself. That's pride. See, I just can't believe I failed God or my wife or Lee or Bill. I can't believe I failed you that badly. I can't believe I fell so flat on my face. That's pride. God always knew I could fall that flat. He can even picture me falling much flatter. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? So see, what I'm teaching you is there's a humility that isn't mealy-mouthed, that's wonderful, and this is where the victory in Christian living is, not speaking in tongues. And I speak in tongues. I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not a charismatic. You say, well, my gosh, what are you? I'm a disciple of Jesus. Isn't that even better than being a Baptist? Hallelujah. That'll set you free. Let's finish then, beloved, with these two verses very quickly. I want you to turn very quickly to Isaiah 55. Just want to read it. Won't take you but a moment. And then Proverbs, if you happen to be hitting around Proverbs, you can grab a finger there. This is a most important point for me to close on, beloveds. Verse 6 of Isaiah 55, 7 is the big one. But seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. If you're in here tonight and you've heard God, God's touched your heart, God says, now's the time to call. You felt My presence. Let the wicked forsake his way. Forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. Return there is the same word as repent. And He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Notice something. Nowhere in it does the Bible teach what the Catholic Church teaches. That you merely confess your sin. I have not been teaching that. I'm making sure I'm not misunderstood tonight. It isn't merely that we confess. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thought. Forsake, the word forsake doesn't mean you never do it again. It means you give it up. You lay it down to God. And you're counting on Him to keep you from now on. You may go back and pick it up. You've laid it at the altar. You forsook it. Later, you may grab it. And then you got to go through the ritual again of God bringing it to your mind, the humbling, the mourning, okay? But the point is, the Bible doesn't just teach. Now turn back to Proverbs 28 and let's see it, how He says it here. Just confession. Confession means simply to agree. To agree with God. If you confess your sin, you've agreed with God. You hadn't told God something He didn't know. See, agreeing. He already knows it. He brought it up to you. The Bible teaches, verse 13 of Proverbs 28, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. See, that's the trouble. See, now we're not humbling self. But whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Both scriptures taught the same. The Bible teaches, listen to me, I can come to, here's a brother back here, I can tell you've loved every word I've said. You've been sitting, yeah, you got your white shirt on, you're looking at me, that's you. He's been right with me every step of the way. I can have swindled him in a business deal as a brother. Go to him and confess. Brother, I've sinned against you. I've swindled you. Doesn't do me one bit of good if I'm already planning to swindle him again. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, I may fall into sin later and do it, but when I really go to him, if we're going to get anything done, I've got to really mean it. I've got to be there to forsake the sin. And the idea is, I've done it, I'm going to reimburse you, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to swindle you again. Now, I may do it to him again later, falling into temptation. But the point is, to be forgiven, to receive God's comfort and mercy, you got to mean business. I repent of adultery to God. But I've already made the motel reservations for this afternoon. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, that, and I go to God at the altar, tears on the altar. Oh, God, I've committed adultery with Sally Jane. And Sally Jane is supposed to meet me at 2:30. Sorry, God, got to go. About to miss the 2:30 appointment. See what I'm saying? That just confession isn't biblical. It's confession and repentance. And so, do you see that forsaking is the same thing as repenting? You're tired. Would you stand? God bless you guys.